There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
The stars of the Pac-12 Conference have descended upon Hollywood, California, in the Walk of Fame, where the biggest and brightest in their conference are at the Lowe's Hotel in Hollywood, California, for their annual media day. There's a Heisman Trophy finalist. There's a team that could crash the college football playoff. But the question that remains in the Pac-12, will this league return to dominance? Will this be the year the Pac-12 Conference returns to national prominence? It's a question that anyone in college football's power corridor, right of the Mississippi, often overlooks because of the league's recent struggles. In the 5 years of the college football playoff, the Pac-12 has only been represented twice, once by Oregon in 2014 and Washington in 2016. And USC, the conference's most recognizable brand, is coming off its worst season in almost 20 years, putting pressure on Clay Helton after SC's 5-win season. Turnover was notable among five schools in 2018, with Arizona, Arizona State, Oregon, Oregon State, and UCLA all hiring new coaches. Year two for those programs now offers stability and perhaps that next step. In the North, Oregon figures to be the favorite after quarterback Justin Herbert returns, turning down NFL riches. Stanford brings back KJ Costello, and Washington says goodbye to Jake Browning, but welcomes home super recruit Jacob Eason, who transferred from Georgia. In the South, Utah figures to be the favorite, with a forgiving schedule that avoids both Oregon and Stanford. Preseason hype is one thing, but from Eugene to LA down to the desert, the Pac-12 has been in a drought of success. Reputation is at stake for a conference trying to get back in the bracket among college football's elite. You know, we have packed up the College Football Live bus. We've brought it on the road here to Hollywood. You talk about star power, Dustin Dvorak, Rod Gilmore. I am merely Matt Berry trying to steer this ship through the next 2 hours of Pac-12 conversation. And guys, if we're being honest about the Pac-12 conference and the college football playoff era, things have not been great for this league. I just touched on it the piece a second ago. They've only been in the college football playoff twice. Now they've got to get back there to kind of establish a reputation back to this league being one of the best in the country because the other programs have been there. Rod Gilmore, I'll start with you as we begin our program. What is the state of the Pac-12 conference?
Well, we know that there are a number of good teams in the Pac-12. We've seen that, but not any elite teams lately. And I'd say the Pac-12 has two problems. The first problem is they've got a national reputation issue because they have a USC problem. You know, USC is the bell cow that people around the country look to the Pac-12 for. And when USC is down, people assume nationally, not locally, but nationally, that the Pac-12 is down. The second problem is they've not performed well in the big stage with the non-conference games, whether it's Washington against Alabama or Auburn or USC against Notre Dame. They have not played well, and that's hurt the reputation of the conference.
And that's why this year, week number one, might be more important for the Pac-12 than any other conference in college football. And I think that opening game, Oregon taking on Auburn down in Arlington, what an outstanding opportunity for Oregon to launch their campaign and maybe get back to a college football playoff, but really to give this league some respect and credibility around all the likes of college football.
And Dusty, we're taking a look at those week one games, even a game like Stanford Northwestern, kind of some smash mouth football. You could argue that week one for the Pac-12, perhaps more important than any bowl season, because we do that every year, right? Bowl games.
Yep.
This conference won this bowl game. This conference won that bowl game. Bowl season week one for this conference is paramount because it establishes national credibility.
I think that's right. This is more important than the bowl season because sometimes you don't know about the motivation for a bowl game and you can discount that. Week one, you can't do that. And think about last year when Washington lost to Auburn. Mm-hmm. That set the narrative for the Pac-12 all season long. Now, this year, Oregon gets the opportunity. And don't discount the other games. You can't have USC lose to a Fresno State, a Group of Five team, or UCLA lose to Cincinnati.
which, oh, by the way, Jeff Tedford, one of the great coaches in college football, what he's done with that program. This time last year at Pac-12 Media Days, this conference was introducing five new head coaches. You talked about Arizona, Arizona State, Sumlin, Herm Edwards, Chip Kelly back in the game at UCLA. Plenty of coaches getting their first run in this conference. Jonathan Smith at Oregon State. Now they're in year two. Mario Cristobal at Oregon. Dusty, I'll start with you on this one. In terms of second-year head coaches, who intrigues you most for that ability to perhaps take that next big step?
I'm high on the Ducks, and I'm high on Mario Cristobal. Maybe it's the nose tackle in me. I got a respect for tough, physical football coaches, and that's what Mario Cristobal is.
Yep.
This offseason, he took his coaches down south to Alabama, to Georgia, to check them out, and he wants to get that type of physicality, that type of dominance on the line of scrimmage up there in Eugene. Oh, by the way, he's got 153 combined starts coming back on his offensive line, and I think one of the best quarterbacks in college football. I think that they got a chance to go from a 9-win team to a potential college football playoff team.
You know, Dusty, I like that call because I think you're right. I think they are loaded and they have a chance to be great. Schedule is an issue for me, but for me, it's Kevin Sumlin. And it's Kevin Sumlin because last season, he had arguably the most dynamic player in college football in Khalil Tate.
Yep.
And we were all excited for what he was going to do. And in week one, it pretty much all ended. There was an attempt early on to turn him into a pocket passer, and then he hurt his ankle, and the entire season became a waste, and Arizona never recovered. This year, a healthy Khalil Tate and better use. I think Kevin Sumlin makes a tremendous jump, a tremendous leap this year with Arizona.
Last year coming in, Kevin Sumlin, Khalil Tate, they were that trendy pick to click in the Pac-12 because of that offensive style with that quarterback. You led the show by talking about this league having a USC problem, their first losing season since 2000. 5-7 just doesn't get it done for USC. Holly Rowe joining us at Pac-12 Media Day with the state of USC and where they can go from last season.
For USC, the time is now. Talking to their wide receiver, Michael Pittman, he said, look, of course we don't want to go 5-7. We can't. They believe that year in and year out, they are one of the most talented teams in college football. He said, we just have to start showing it. That has started for them in the strength and conditioning program, a total overhaul where they're doing more body fatigue workouts. He said, we've gone from 45-minute sessions to 90-minute sessions so that they don't fade down the stretch in games that they thought was an issue last season. Also, there is a quarterback competition, healthy one, they say, with four different guys possibly in the mix. In the player-run practices, everybody is taking turns, everybody getting snaps. And as Michael Pittman said, it is a healthy competition, and we are here to show that we are better than that 5-7 record. He said, we're one of the most talented teams in the country. Time we show it.
Holly, thank you. Interviews from her throughout the afternoon. Clay Helton knows what is at stake this year. He's going to join us live. Coming up next, live from L.A. on College Football Live.
College Football Live is brought to you by State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM.
Welcome back to College Football Live in celebration of the NFL's 100th season. Peyton Manning takes you on a unique and humorous journey of football's history and cultural impact through conversations with former players, coaches, and other key figures. 30 episodes of Peyton's Place, only available on ESPN+. Let's return to the college football conversation and start with USC coming off a 5-7 season in 2018. That the most losses since 2000. Interesting move coming in on offense. Graham Harrell, hired as the offensive coordinator, comes in from North Texas after they were slinging around with the UNT Mean Green. And Clay Helton, entering his fifth season as head coach, won the 2017 Rose Bowl and the 2017 Pac-12 Championship. And Coach Helton, kind enough to join us now here on College Football Live. I said it a second ago, 5 years. Where has the time gone as head coach of USC? But Coach, I detailed there, 5-7 last year, first losing record since 2000. That doesn't sit well with anybody within those halls, especially you. What was the offseason mantra for you and this program?
Yeah, it was about being truthful and providing clarity. You know, anytime that you have a great season like a Rose Bowl or Pac-12 title, you hand out the accolades to the men around you. But when you end up having a season like we had last year, you own it as a head coach, and you see the what you need to do to help your team get better. And for me, it was just the truthfulness of what beat us. We beat us, whether it was the discipline of the game when it came to penalties, whether it was turnovers, or whether it was just the fundamentals. I felt that we need to have simpler schemes. Thought we needed to worry about what was the most important in winning games, and that's worrying about us rather than our opponent and not making the critical errors. So we addressed that in spring. We made it a point of emphasis. We were truthful with our kids. We've had a great offseason, and now we're looking forward to put that product on the field in the fall.
One of the changes that you've made is on the offensive side. And, you know, for a lot of us, we've seen USC over the years. It's been about the pro-style offense. Mm-hmm. It's been about the tailback and the big offensive lineman. And now you're going to an air raid style. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a change for USC fans and for the players, too. Mm-hmm. Why the change, and how difficult was it to make that change?
Well, I wanted a simpler scheme for our kids to be able to use all our assets that we have on our offense, both wide receiver and running back. And one of the things that really, really excited me about having Graham is his ability at North Texas to rush for 2,000 yards and still have a top 10 quarterback. So it not necessarily was an air raid version. It was something that provided balance, but attacked every inch of the field vertically, horizontally, with the interior run game. I think it's an offense that you look up and you're going to be very excited about because it does create balance. And, you know, winning and putting points on the board seems to be very, very makes fans happy. So we plan on doing that.
When you look at the schedule and when you look at where you guys are as a program, how important is preseason preparation just based on those first five games you guys have coming up?
You can't say how invaluable 25 practices is in fall training camp. You can't waste a second. In today's college football realm, you get 15 total times to work with your kids in the spring. Here comes your next 25 times. So this camp is ultra important. One, to establish our depth chart of our two deep, but two, to continue our mantra of worrying about ourselves rather than our opponent and setting our standard and living up to that standard.
I think the assumption for a lot of folks is that new offensive system, JT Daniels, steps into a new system. Can you give us some sense of the quarterback situation? Is there some clarity yet? Is it JT Daniel?
Well, we're going to go through fall camp, and we are going to compete at the quarterback position. We provided some clarity coming out of spring where guys were at that moment. But there is going to be able to compete. I've always felt, having played the position, having coached the position, that competition is the best thing for that position. That's real-world football at any level. Is the best player plays, and he usually allows the cream to rise to the top and produces the best player possible.
Coach, I'll get you out of here on this one. You look at the schedule, you look at what you guys have down south. The North seems to always win that part of the league and then win the league. What's it going to take for USC to get back to the Pac-12 championship game?
Well, I think it's like we did 2 years ago. We really played high-quality football, didn't make a lot of mistakes when we won that Pac-12 championship. We worried about us, worried about doing our job rather than making it about the opponent. And I think that's what we've got. We've got some great competition in this league, 9 conference games we got to play. We start off very strong. The strength of our schedule is very early. Mm-hmm. Right out of the gate, we've got to be strong. So it's going to be important over the next 4 weeks as we go through these 25 practices to concern ourselves about us and how we can improve as a team.
Coaches always tell you, get a good idea of who your team is in the first month of the season. Yep. USC is going to get that with Clay Helton. They open up with Fresno State. Coach, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of Pac-12 Media Days. Coming up next, David Shaw up at Stanford. They've had a good run. Can they be the team of the decade? He sure hopes so. We'll hear from Coach Shaw coming up next. The ACC Network is coming August 22nd. Visit accn.com to check availability. If you don't have it listed, demand they carry the network as we count down to the start of college football.
Oh, can't stop me now.
Orange. By T. Higgins. Touchdown. The Tigers reclaim their crown by crushing Alabama.
They are playing. playing for this, the National Championship Trophy presented by Dr. Pepper that will be handed out in New Orleans this year at the College Football Playoff National Championship Game. Coming up next, we are going to take this fun. We've still got time here on ESPN2, but we have a Pac-12 Media Day special over on ESPNU. We've got Mario Cristobal. We've got Mike Leach. We've got Herm Edwards and a cast of thousands, an hour and a half of just knee-deep college football talk coming up over on ESPNU. When you talk about the Pac-12 conference coming into this season, let's discuss the quarterbacks, Herbert, Daniels, Costello, Jake Eason, Khalil Tate. Plenty of star power at the quarterback position coming back. And who better to talk quarterback star power than our true freshman in the TV world, Mark Sanchez and Ryan Leaf. Gentlemen, welcome to ESPN.
Thank you.
Happy to be working with you here at Pac-12 Media Days. Couldn't find a better start for you two to get into your TV life. And let's talk quarterbacks in the Pac-12. And Mark, I'll start with you. We know Justin Herbert's the star in this conference. But
That's
if
right.
there's one quarterback coming back this year that intrigues you most, who is it and why?
Well, the most intriguing guy to me is Jacob Eason. And really, it's because I have more questions than answers about the guy. And I'll tell you why. Jake Browning, this is a story of the three Jakes, right? Jake Browning's gone. It's the first time in a while that Peterson's got to deal with a quarterback competition. They got Jake Haner, who's tough, scrappy, you know, 6 foot, undersized guy, clawing his way up the depth chart. He's been in the program for 2 years now, and now he's got to compete with, what, a five-star guy coming back home from Georgia who got beat out by a freshman in Jake Fromm, or in Fromm.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen here, but talking with Coach Peterson last night at the dinner here for the Pac-12 Media Day, he said somebody's got to close the door on this competition. Somebody's got to establish themselves as our leader, but he didn't know who it's going to be yet. Look who they brought to Media Day. Nick Harris, the center, so we better ask him.
I did. I asked him this morning, and Nick Harris told me, simply, it doesn't matter who throws it. We'll just be able to say, great throw, Jake.
Someone named Jake.
Yeah,
right.
Good job.
Who most intrigues you at the quarterback's position coming back?
Well, other than the two main guys at the front, I'm going to say Khalil Tate, right? Last year, Sports Illustrated cover boy for the Heisman Trophy, arguably out of the race after game one,
for
sure in game two against Houston. So we're going to find out if he can be what he was in 2017, which was the most dynamic quarterback in the Pac-12, the way he was able to run and throw the football last year. Tried to be more of a pocket passer. We'll see how he'll do in year two under Neil Mazzone.
But I think we would both agree with the quarterbacks you guys both mentioned. There's a lot of talent there with both of these guys. If they can kind of assemble that talent, they could be in for a good season. You want to talk about talent at quarterback, KJ Costello at Stanford. He's coming back. David Shaw doesn't have a quarterback problem. Stanford has storylines coming in. 9-4 in 2018. They beat Pitt in the Sun Bowl. They win a bowl game, but not where they were headed. But the other question, they must replace leading rusher Bryce Love and leading wide receiver J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Skill position players gone for the Cardinal. And the schedule, they visit USC and UCF, host Oregon and Washington in the first 6 weeks of the season. Holly Rowe with Shaw, they've got their work cut out for them.
Coach, I always think a league will be good when it has good returning quarterback talent. And you have maybe one of the best in the league in KJ Costello. What do you see from him and the next step he should take?
Well, there's no question. He played a high level last year in a lot of games. There's another percentage that he knows he can get better, really improving, reducing turnovers. And I think he's a guy that can go from 64, 65% to approaching 70% completion. But he's got some great talent around him as well. Kobe Parkinson's going to be one of the top tight ends in the nation next year. We've got a good group of young receivers. Our offensive line did a good job protecting last year. I think they're going to have to do that this year. So I think he's got the ability, but he's also got some good guys around him to hopefully help him reach his potential.
You guys have this saying that is absolutely my favorite in all of sports, intellectual brutality. So talk about the offensive line and up front. What do you envision for your offense this year as far as tweaks in the line or being that power, you know, that power package that you've been in the past?
Well, I think last year was kind of an aberration. It was really difficult. We had a lot of injuries. We had a lot of lineup changes that are really unusual for us. For us now, it's about getting guys healthy, being consistent up front. I think we've got some highly talented guys led by Walker Little and preseason All-Americans. He's going to be an outstanding football player. But we think as a unit, we can play so much better than we played the year before. We have to run the ball with more consistency, with more efficiency, and better, which also helps with the play-action pass game. So those two things go hand in hand. It's a big thing that we're trying to focus on this training camp.
Just quickly, they wanted to know, is Stanford the team of the decade? 10 years of dominance in this league. What is your answer to that question?
Well, you know, it's whether or not we win this conference this year. We're in the balance where we've won it three times, and the goal is to try to win it four and to cap off this decade and start working on the next.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you. You look at the preseason media poll, and it's pretty tight in the Pac-12 North, rather. Oregon, Washington, Stanford, the usual suspects. Utah, the favorite in the South, leaps and bounds. But I do want to start with the Pac-12 North. Coming off the David Shaw interview, Ryan Leaf, if you were playing in this conference back when there were divisions, you would have been in the North at Washington State. Who do you like on that half of the Pac-12 and why?
Well, for the last 3 years, it's come down to the Apple Cup. Washington State determined who the North champion was. I think it comes down to that again. I think Washington continues to dominate in this division until somebody knocks them off. I'm not ready to dethrone them. Chris Peterson knows what he's doing. He continues to do it year in, year out.
He's built stability at that program. It wasn't too long ago that program was 0-12. Mark, when you look at the Pac-12 North, why have they been able to dominate the Pac-12 South?
Honestly, it's because my guys at USC, man, they haven't been what they were in the past as of recent, right? Mm-hmm. But who's taken over that Southern Division is really Utah. And I look for them to do the same again because of their weak schedule, really. You look at their schedule this year, they have BYU's their biggest one, their biggest matchup early on. But after that, they get their big games at home, and they don't play Stanford or Oregon in the North. So if anybody's set to run the table in the South, it's really Utah and Coach Whittingham.
And when you look up North and you look at what they've been able to do as we look at Utah's schedule now, Ryan, how much does schedule play a factor if a team is going to come down from the South and finally get someone from the North?
Well, it's huge. It is huge nationally because we compare conferences only playing 8 games to Pac-12's 9 games. Mm-hmm. What they get and not have to go to, like I said, not have to go to Oregon, not have to play Stanford, get to host Washington State.
That's a big
one.
They
go to USC and they go to Washington. Those are the two tests they have to get by. I don't see anybody getting in the way of them in the South. The difference is there's 5 teams in the North that could beat them every week, some way, shape, or form.
Quickly, 5 seconds each. Is Oregon the team to beat? Are they a playoff team?
I don't know. I like Stanford's chances. I really do. And after sitting next to Coach Peterson last night, I want to go back and play for the guy.
I'm
ditching this whole ESPN thing. I'm going back to college.
No, you've only been on for 20 seconds. Quickly, 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I don't know if there's a team in the Pac-12 that is going to be able to play in the college football playoff.
Well, how about that? True freshman no longer. See, this TV thing is easy. Mark Sanchez, Ryan Leaf, Matt Berry, we're hopping over to ESPNU for our Pac-12 Media Day special.